morning, everybody. Today is Monday, March 6, 2017. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV, happy Monday, everyone. It is a balmy 34 degrees and drippy here in upstate New York. Well, sorry about that. Skype, after the whole upgrade debacle last week that I'm still in the middle of dealing with between multiple machines, doesn't seem to work too well anymore. So can't guarantee ever I'm going to be able to get online. But hey, means I can sleep in. All right, so where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show, Forced Upgrades, Biosensors Inside You, ElectRx, DARPA, and Smart Dust. And we had spent a few days digging into Smart Dust. I would have continued since I had 34 more stories, but Chrome also crashed. So I've had all these upgrades on every machine being forced down my throat this week. And I lost every single one of the tabs when I tried to reopen it. So all the research is gone too. So I think we're taking another direction today, since my weekend was way beyond hectic and very unpleasant. I really haven't had much time to do anything. I was actually going to cancel the show today, but I ran out of time to log in and turn on a rerun. So we ended the show looking at who the hell knows what. Ray Kurzweil, I don't know, it's the last link there, about nanobots connecting our brains to the internet. And it's pretty important because we discover, as we are digging into some of this documentation about Smart Dust, that this stuff has been going on since the 1990s. I was in technology back then. And I've told you guys before, I absolutely remember when I was working very closely with Hewlett-Packard, them telling us all about the research they were doing on Smart Dust. Now, eventually, at some point in the future, they were going to spread this stuff all across the planet and be able to get real-time readings on anything that they wanted. Environmental conditions, of course, not inside of you. Well, things have moved quite a bit forward since then. We find out Hewlett-Packard already has their Smart Dust project. It's called the Central Nervous System of Earth. But it's gone way beyond that now. University of California, Berkeley, put out a bunch of papers. I don't remember. I think actually when we were reading them, it was in the 90s that they were working on that as well. But this stuff now has been integrated into a lot of different projects that they are researching now as utilizing things such as quote-unquote smart dust, and that would be these wireless biosensors that are a millimeter or smaller in size. At some point, they probably could even be little nanoparticulates. These are little smart motes, and they can use them everywhere. They can let them go in the atmosphere. They can let them go in your body to be able to sense and detect. We read DARPA had also been working with the University of Berkeley. It's been funding. Maybe we can find that. And they were finding, as part of the some of their ElectRx research, I think it zippity-zapped that vagus nerve to be able to manipulate the chemicals and the transactions happening inside the body, that those little smart motes could get embedded into the muscle and the neural tissue. They were calling it neural dust at that time, to be able to manipulate, monitor, and control. And that's got to concern every single one of us, as, like I've mentioned many times before, this 21st Century Cures Act was passed as Obama was passing the torch. And every time we'd heard about it, it's like, it's amazing. It was full partisan support. Everybody shook hands and they all agreed. But we found out that all of those congresspeople were, and not all of them, but a large majority of them, were somehow, some way invested in biotech and 21st century medicine. So yeah, oh, it's so wonderful. going to have all these wonderful cures and be able to bring the cost down and do some innovative things for America, because this is going to be the new economic engine per Obama. Right. And you and I are the giveaway. We are the guinea pig. Here you go, Mr. Wolfie. We got all these little chickens. And look, all you got to do is convince the chickens that they need little Wolfie as the caretaker. And that's what they're doing right now. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, your doctor, my mom and I discussed this quite a number of times. I'm going to give you an update, too. I told you a couple weeks ago when we were there, I convinced her to start using ginger again. She has trouble with turmeric, but ginger is okay. She was having some issues with, she's got bad arthritis. So they put her on these prescription pills that she'd gotten off of a few times for pain, because they were messing up her kidney and, I don't know, other issues that she had. So, and they were the COX-2 inhibitors. So those are the ones that were well known for causing strokes. So I convinced her to find a way to get off those. But then she had gotten back on them for a while and went for her physical. And bang, oops, your kidney function is down. So she started freaking out. So I'm like, look, stop taking that crap. And take some ginger, put it in your tea, grind it up raw. Maybe do some dandelion tea along with it. Can help some of the kidney and liver function detox. So anyway, she did this for about a week. She went back again and got some numbers done. Her numbers are back to normal. And of course, the doctor's like, oh, well, it must have been a mistake. Right? Well, no. Your numbers can go back to normal. The thing that gets me is that they are always... always, always trying to push some drug on you. And that wolf in sheep's clothing is thinking about, you know, his little play money account. Every time he kicks a prescription out, he probably, and I don't actually know how it works on the back end, but I do know that they get kickbacks when they prescribe drugs. Just like when I worked for that distributor. We used to do these vendor fairs, and they would come in, and everybody would be trying to give us free samples. I mean, it was like crazy. Every single sales guy from all these big tech companies, they would want you to have their product. Here, take a full version. I swear to God, the one time they brought us, Adobe came in there, and they gave us a full on. Whatever you call it, unlocked edition of whatever the suite was called, that full-blown video editing Premiere, Adobe Premiere. I mean, that's like, depending on how many of the programs you buy with it, anywhere from like a $500 to a $1,000 or $1,200 program. They gave our entire department of 200 people, I worked in tech support, we had sales and whatever. There were thousands, tens of thousands of people in the company. But my department had 200 people. And they gave every single one of us a copy of that. And you know why? Because they wanted us to sell it. And they figured the best way, especially for technicians, to be able, since technicians aren't salespeople, otherwise they would be salespeople. But if a technician felt very comfortable with a product, and we still had to do calls. We were doing troubleshooting calls and pre-configuration calls. If somebody called and wanted a recommendation, the tech is going to recommend something that they have had hands-on with. Well, you know, they do, and not the hands-on, but these vendors coming at these doctors, they probably do exactly what they used to do in distribution for technology. They would tell you, you have 50 different vendors out there, maybe five of them all make the same product, just a different brand name. Well, they put spiffs on their products. So if you recommend, you know, 30 or 40 prescriptions of XYZ drug, we're going to kick you back $25 a prescription, or we're going to give you some European vacation tickets on a yacht with unlimited our budget. We'll take you on that little trip. I mean, don't trust anyone who is financially incented in curing, quote unquote, curing you to have your quote unquote cure in your best interest. You know, I don't understand how the first line of defense is not looking to see if there is some sort of natural substance in our environment that has had success in curing or alleviating some of the issues you are currently having. I spent my time last night, I don't know, since I lost all those tabs, I was kind of lost, and I started reading. I don't know, we have another neighbor now that has really bad cancer. My mom's neighbors are dropping off like flies. So I started digging in and doing some research for her because she apparently has the same cancer that my cat Oliver got, that sarcoma in the soft tissue of the leg. I was like, whoa, that's interesting. And apparently it's really rare in humans. Happens a lot in animals, but really rare in humans. So I started digging into if there was a connection with vaccines and the aluminum adjuvant like they found in the cats. And then I started digging into what natural remedies cause cancer apoptosis in those soft tissue cancers. And of course I dug into ginger and turmeric, and I don't know, that's all my machine upstairs is all dedicated to that to deal with this afternoon after I finish out here today. But I found a document published on the National Institute of Health's website in their PubMed publication. They have been digging deep into the chemical makeup of ginger and turmeric, the curcuminoids in turmeric, and doing experimentation with cancers for many years now. I was really surprised that they had mentioned the 90s, that they had already uncovered all of this cell death activity that the curcuminoids had caused in the cancer cells. And the article went on and on and on, and it outlined all the research, all the experiments, and there are hundreds of experiments that have shown time and time and time again it causes cell apoptosis, it cuts off the blood supply, causes those blood vessels that the cancer cell hijacks and gets to grow toward it so it can feed off of you. It dries those up and it causes the cells to die. And there's breast cancer. I don't know. It's early, guys, and it's Monday. But I remember reading about breast cancer, and I read about this tumor and that tumor, and I don't know if there was any glioblastomas. Glioblastomas. But look it up. I'll link that in the notes here. If anyone knows anyone who is being told they need to go for 5 weeks of chemotherapy, you know, I don't want to deter anybody from listening to your doctor at all, but I'm going to tell you, anyone that I've ever known who has had chemo, except for one, actually, and this was my mother's best friend, who had ovarian cancer. Sorry, I was going to say cervical. She discovered she had stage 4 ovarian, and that's the one that has, we've talked about that on the show before, that's the one that has no symptoms. And up until just very recently, there were zero tests, and the only way they find it is typically you start to feel like you're bloated, and by that time, you're already in stage 4. There's always a bad prognosis. Well, she kicked it. They did surgery, and they did do chemo, and she did lose all of her hair, and she was very sick for a while, and I was really worried about her. But when she had two different doctors, one was a holistic medicine doctor, and one was the doctor at the cancer center, and she got them to talk to each other. And she got them to talk to each other because I had given her some pretty hefty evidence, and again, some National Institute of Health documentation showing the experiments that were done that actually helped chemo-resistant ovarian cancer cells become much more susceptible to the chemotherapy to kill them I also showed her documentation on how it caused apoptosis in the cancer cells. And so long before she started going for the chemo, I hooked her up with this company that I've been taking their turmeric products for a while. It's enteric turmeric. I think I mentioned those. And one of the big things about turmeric and all the cancer research that I have done is that the biggest issue with it isn't that it doesn't kill cancer. It's that you can't get the bioavailability into your bloodstream that is required. And so the study that I'm reading last night actually went through all the different ways, whether he took it orally, whether they were giving it intravenously, and at what levels of milligram wise and whatever that they started seeing effects versus no effects. And she was able to get on a regimen taking megadoses of that turmeric long before. And I'll tell you what, she's the only person that I've known, knock on wood, so far out of friends and family in my lifetime that has gone for chemo. And I'm sure that there are many others, but I'm just saying in my life, who survived. And now, I don't know, there might be a little recurrence happening, so we'll see. But my first recommendation to anybody, and even as a preventative, and that was something again that they were going through that PubMed document, is as a preventative, they are also exploring turmeric and ginger, because anytime you have these cells that start proliferating, as long as you keep your dosage up, I mean, I do them every day. I saw too, they were saying that ginger, they had even up to some insane number, like 40,000 milligrams or 4,000 grams. I don't know, some huge number of ginger. They found no biological toxicity whatsoever. So think about that for a minute. You know, if only the only problem to getting these things to the cells is bioavailability, because there's not enough of it that's passing through that small intestine blood barrier, but you can jack the dose up without it showing any toxicity to biological organisms. I think that there is a lot of potential there in the future for some sort of natural substance to be bloop, look, curing cancer. Oh my God, we've spent bazillions of dollars all these years, and we've killed so many people, putting them in front of all the radiation machines to see what would happen. But we got this natural substance that now that we've dissected it genomically, and now we can look at every substance inside of it and how they're working synergistically, not only together, but within the body to kill these toxic cells. Why would any doctor be prescribing you chemotherapy? And it disturbs me because they point to things like fake news. Oh, you know, and I wanted to get to the story about now, you know, they've been playing this psyop on us, and I've talked about this quite a few times, just about how they spin the story, especially with this fake news thing. You know, now it's all upside down world, so nobody knows what to believe or not believe, and that's the way they want it, because that means they can groom you. They can be the wolf in sheep's clothing and be standing there and say, "Follow me, I am the shepherd. I'm the one who will keep you safe." But it's not. Look underneath the costume, because it's not a soft lammy. Unzip the zipper. It's something pretty scary in there. Don't follow them. Don't listen. Do your own research, because they are going to be teaching you what they want you to follow. And now that they've gotten you so confused that you don't know what's right or wrong, this 21st Century Cures is rolling out, and they're trying to spin it at how damn wonderful it is that all this new medicine is coming. But don't let them fool you. They're all going to profit off of you stepping up to get in line, to be one of the sacrificial guinea pigs, to be able to come up with all these new 21st century cures that in the end are going to be used to cure rich people, are going to be used to cure those who can afford it. And pretty soon, when robots take all the jobs and Obamacare is wiped off the map, even though we couldn't afford that either, and everything is in complete and total utter mayhem. Hey, when they start turning around and saying, "Oh, we got this clinical trial, we're gonna step up, You're desperate enough. You got your last $20,000 that you were hoping was going to buy you food for your retirement. Well, what good is your retirement if you died from cancer? So step right up. We got these nanobots with these little targeted drugs, and we're going to release them. See what happens. Why don't you just step right up? Your name will go in the history books. And I saw last night there was a story that came in my Google feed, the email feeds that they dump me 100 times a day. I think this one was for AI. But I guess Lawrence Livermore Laboratory and some of the super genius, that's the way it made it sound in the write-up, super genius scientists from Lawrence Livermore are going to be giving a presentation. I didn't see, it was a college, but I didn't see what state it was in, but I'm assuming that it was probably in California because it said that it was, you know, we're so lucky to have these guys locally, blah, blah, blah. But Lawrence Livermore, scientists, going to be coming to a university to have a conversation about some of the new breakthroughs in smart dust and how that's going to affect healthcare and in the future and get it into our bodies. And I was like, are you kidding me? And that is happening tomorrow, by the way. And they were inviting everyone in the public to be able to get the real truth about what is going on with this new 21st century science. Don't listen to that fake news. And of course, now that we have Trump in the office, and Trump is calling out bullshit. I don't know. I think Trump opens his mouth before he thinks. I think there's a lot of things that Trump grumbles about and accuses others of that absolutely have threads of truth in them. I don't know if he vets his information as well as I do. He just blurts stuff out there. But it worries me because I notice that the media gets all over every time he says something or has a Twitter storm. He gets Tourette's, Twitter Tourette's at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they all point to that and they go, look, 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 look. It's all lies. It's all lies. Even the president doesn't know what truth is. And they have mixed this up. Now, remember, Obama and Hillary Clinton, Obama especially, Obama had said right out that he was going to combat fake news once he got out of office. Hillary Clinton got really damn quiet and disappeared. And there's a full-out attack on everything that Trump says and does. All of his cabinet. And I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. I honestly, I don't know, I had to kind of like just not pay attention right now. Because there's too much. I just can't pay attention. I hate stupid people. I mean, not if you're, you have some sort of disability and have some issues. That's one thing. But I mean, stupid people, like people who open their mouth before they speak and they do it over and over and over again, regardless of how much it bites them in the ass every time. They just can't control themselves. That's what I mean by quote unquote stupid. People who don't think before they leap. And then create all kinds of more problems for themselves. And it bothers me that we have people like Donald Trump and then we have Alex Jones out there. You know, and they keep using him as an example as well. It doesn't make things look good. For those of us out here who actually are doing a research and who are pointing out things going, huh, this is pretty interesting. And look, this dot connects here, here, and here. Because that never makes it into the news. So we have this 21st Century Cures Act. We have people like me going, look out for the machine. 21st Century Cures Act is all about selling you to biopharma. Nanobots in your blood are about making you 1.0 experimentation. But on the flip side, they're turning around selling it to the public how... Don't listen to any of the fake science. Don't listen to the quote-unquote fake science about vaccines, even though you got Robert De Niro and RF Kennedy Jr. standing up even to point out that maybe we should at least look at vaccines again. Maybe we should at least do some safety assessments. Well, You know what? They must be lying. They must be lying. Who would question the machine? Well, here's a story. Scientific American trying to set the agenda again. So how does the public's view of science go so wrong? What public view of science going so wrong? Well, it happens because some people, like Joel, reject expert information when it goes against their personal values. Well, how about I reject expert information when we find out that more than half of the research that was published in some of these scientific journals is found to be either incorrect, fraudulent, needing redaction, and no one ever made them do it. And so we have all this research out there that's potentially faulty, that you have researchers that are now doing research in the lab that are using those as the basis of their research. The incorrect, unredacted, or potentially untrue research that's published out there. We found out that a good part of that research was funded by industry insiders that were hoping for a beneficial review of their product since they financed it. So anything that's out there, can you really trust? I would say no. But it's not because the public is naive. It's not because it goes against the public's personal values. It's because we have discovered we got a shit ton of lying sacks in every single level of our society, including healthcare, including government, and there is nobody who is watching out for yours or Nana's or Susie or Johnny's best interest. It's all about making money. It's all about plausible deniability, because 20 years down the road, when you end up with a hand growing out of your forehead, who are you going to blame it on? How are you going to prove it? You're not. So let's read the story here about how stupid American people are. I'm not going to say that people aren't stupid. And I don't mean in a mean way. Like I said, people believe things without doing their own research. That's what makes you quote unquote stupid. Stupid as in you're allowing them to pull you around by the nose, as my mother used to say. My mother always used to tell me the one thing I remember over and over and over again as a child. Don't believe something because somebody told you. That's what she always told me. And of course, she is a very reformed Catholic who grew up in very strict Catholic land. Don't believe something because somebody told you. And that has probably been some of the best advice, even above and beyond Mr. Feinauer's There Is No Free Lunch. Those are two that have gotten me far in life. Okay, let's get to this. Do Americans hate science? Well, they certainly seem to hate it more than they used to, as they rage against every expert in the field. And this is more than a traditional American distaste for eggheads and intellectuals. Americans increasingly are acting and, listen to this, and voting. So look, fake news, Trump in office. Honestly, if I didn't know better, I would have think that maybe they actually let him get into office, because it was quite a surprise, first of all, when he got elected. And maybe this was to muddy the waters, to make it worse than it was, and to make us more pliable in the future to be begging for them now. Begging. Now we're going to have things that are so confused. Nobody knows who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, who's lying and who's not, who's telling the truth and who's not. And oh, by the way, many of these scientists, these eggheads and intellectuals that are doing this research are funded by who? Oh, wait, DARPA, the war machine. So, I don't know, you can't blame people like me who take a look at this stuff, and we've looked at this under a microscope for the last 5 years. And I used to be a believer in our medical establishment. I look back now and I go, wow, they've used me for a pincushion for 20 years and has done experimentation on me that has messed me up. Actually, it took me a lot of years to figure out that I had issues and it was them that were causing it. And when I got myself off of all this crap, including the processed foods and everything else, I try to do as much organic as I can. I don't put any type of genetic modification or glyphosate, if I can possibly help it, into my body. And by the way, my friend and I just were talking about this the other day again. We saw a study last year that had looked at glyphosate in beer. And apparently, I was trying to read the other night about what the rules and laws are for hops and pesticides. I guess there was a pesticide that was banned years ago, and then they didn't use pesticides on hops for a long time. But they need to use something, and they were trying to use natural predators for the pests. But they have found in studies that most of the majority of the beers that are out there, unless they are labeled organic, and even then, organic still could mean that there are minuscule amounts, but in most of the beers, they're finding glyphosate. So even if you're going all organic with your food supply, and that's helped your leaky gut and your digestive issues and your allergies and autoimmune diseases and all the cascading things that happen, the Western diseases, the cytochrome P450 enzyme suppression that causes all these problems. Even if you get rid of all that in your diet, if you do a couple beers that are loaded with glyphosate, you're still getting it Trojan horse into your diet. Well, anyway, let's back to the story. Remember, a lot of this science is being funded by mad scientists at DARPA. And what they're trying to discover are all the chinks in our armor. They want to find all the chinks in our armor, the human armor, to be able to utilize in the future as weapons. It's all about the war machine. It's not about curing you. It's not about living forever. Though it could be. It's only for the rich tech billionaires. But for us, we are the guinea pigs, and it's an acceptable risk, especially if you're desperate. You have no other chance but to step up to be a guinea pig, and that's what they're betting on. Well, but good old the Americans, at least they're skeptical about this. In Texas, for example, personal belief exemptions among parents refusing, and listen to how they put this, to vaccinate their children increased from 2314 people in 2003-2004 school year to 44,716 in 2015 to 2016. Well, good on them. And I'll tell you what, I just saw they were looking at now completely wiping out that personal belief exemption in Pennsylvania. And I'm pretty sure, I know they talked about it in New York, and I am pretty sure that it is pretty wiped out here already. I.e., you have no refusal anymore. I.e., you can't stand up and say on religious grounds that you object to vaccinations. And I mean, look what's in them. I was talking about that sarcoma, soft tissue sarcoma. We talked about my cat. We talked about the aluminum adjuvant and it causing cancer. The study at Cornell and Penn U, a couple other universities, they looked very closely at this. They have fully 100% connected the adjuvant, the aluminum adjuvant in the rabies and the feline leukemia, three of rabies and the feline leukemia, to the cancers. And now here we have my mother's neighbor with the same exact cancer that my cat had. I told her, I mean, I don't know. I don't think she's doing well, but I told her, I said, if you see her, ask her if she ever got a shot in that leg, because I'd be very interested to know. But I don't know, people, when we look at now what's happening, and we have De Niro and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now standing up, at least saying, hey, why don't we look at the safety of vaccines and adjuvants and the ingredients that are in them? if you think they're so great and you have nothing to hide, then what's the big deal? But I am afraid that it might be a little bit too late because even though they're calling for this and they're just small in number, remember we are moving beyond traditional vaccinations. We have looked a lot at some of the shape-shifting immune system genetic therapies that DARPA has been sprinkle funding research in. Some of these other things, transgenic bacteria or viruses, either or. They suck out the guts and put in new genetically modified crap and then put them inside of you that go in and invade your cells and replicate, you know, new life forms inside your body or even little nanobots. And there are a lot of mad sciencey things that are coming all in the name of quote unquote vaccination and keeping you safe that is way above and beyond any type of aluminum adjuvant that could have been causing sarcomas. Nobody's talking about that. Although these smart parents, the 44,000 in 2015-16, although these parents were, they say, galvanized by the election of Trump, and listen to this, who is America's most prominent vaccine skeptic, so of course it makes us even dirtier. This reflexive dismissal of science long predates the 2016 election, even if it has intensified in the last few years. And yeah, see, they're afraid. They're afraid because people are waking up and at least questioning the narrative. And I guess it's not even good to question things anymore, Johnny. Don't even ask why. Just shut up and do it. I mean, what kind of a world is this going to be? I hate to tell you, but if it comes to a world where they start telling me, Jules, shut up and do it, well, I might have some problems. My mouth does not genetically allow me to just shut up and do it. Now, I got to tell you, I know it's genetic because I've spawned one of those. My 10-year-old, she has the same genetic disposition as I do. And I have to tell you, she can drive me completely insane. Now I see why all the adults in my life when I was a child used to roll their eyes and go, oh my God, Joel. But, I mean, you shouldn't. And I know I feel bad when I get mad. I'm like, just do what I told you to do. You know, that's probably the worst thing for me to be trying to impose because you don't want to be groomed to do what you're told without questioning, right? That's like the worst thing you could be teaching your kid. I don't know. We got to teach our kids, I think, that it's a double-edged sword. If it's your mother and father, do what you're told. Like clean your room or pull your sheets off your bed so you can put fresh ones on. But if they're trying to sell you some newfangled treatment to inject into your child, you need to do your research and understand exactly what they're doing, how it works, what they're putting in your kid, that pristine little child that isn't loaded with toxins yet until they get their hands on them. That's the point. And then make sure that there's been 20 years of testing done for safety. Oh, but wait, the FDA has been kind of pushed out of the way with that 21st Century Cures Act. Oh, yeah. So there isn't even lots of pre-testing going on, and not that I've said before that the FDA has really been doing their due diligence. So you still see today, you and your family members victims of taking XYZ drug, even though it was FDA approved and dropped dead. Well, here I got a lawyer for you to talk to. But the problem is, you look at things such as this HPV vaccine that they're pushing now, not only on little girls, but little boys, starting at, I believe, 10 years old. Not only are there big questions as to what cancers that it could potentially prevent, but we found out, and I did a show, Search Before the First Cup Gardasil, on YouTube, and you'll find it. There were two shows. There was one titled, this new Gardasil 9. They had the first Gardasil, then they came out with the Gardasil 9, and they're like, oh, look, it's a new HPV vaccine, new and improved, and it covers for more cancers. But guess what? The reason why they had to come out with the Gardasil 9 was to fix the mistakes that they made with the Gardasil, which was that anyone who got the original Gardasil vaccine, they started discovering, because they didn't do their due diligence and research and didn't have 20 years of history before they launched it on our children, they discovered the people who actually got the original Gardasil vaccine were more susceptible to some of the more virulent cancers as opposed to being protected from them. Whoops. I mean, really sick stuff. So do your research. I had friends who took their daughters the day after they announced that vaccine to the doctor and got them vaccinated. I was horrified. I was like, are you, stop. This is new. There's no research. There's nothing behind it that shows a million children 20 years later had no bad side effects. It didn't affect their fertility. It didn't put them into seizures. It didn't give them brain damage. And there are all kinds of major issues. The horror story after horror story that I have read. And another one was putting them into a premature menopause at like 11. It was a story out of England, out of one of the their scientific journals out there. I sent that to my daughter's doctor when she was giving me smart lip about HPV. So it's just do your research, understand what they're selling you. And I don't care if they tell you that you're being un-American or you're being tinfoil hat wearing. The fact that you're asking questions means that you are utilizing your brain. And hey, benefit to that is when you exercise your brain, remember, it's just like any other body part. It gets stronger and it thinks better and your neurons connect more. And when you get older, there's less of a chance for you to get some sort of dementia because you're utilizing your gray matter. Thinking is a good thing. Americans don't really hate science. They rely on it every day in ways they don't even notice. And from tens of thousands of safe and effective over-the-counter drugs to the directions on a car's GPS, except for those ones that tell you to turn left into the pond. Americans trust the work of experts on a daily basis. Rather, it is more accurate to say that the American public distrusts scientists rather than science itself. Well, the fact that we have all these scientists now, and we discovered this as well, that are being motivated by this dangling carrot of fame and fortune, and being this class of intelligent, I would almost say godlike, holding the keys to life in their hands. I mean, that's where we're at this point with genomic sequencing and people like Georgie Porgy Church, the synthetic human genome, and being able to create embryos out of stem cells, you know, life from nothing, scrape your little hand, create a baby. You know, they have this complex going on right now that science is all the truth. But you forget, science can be manipulated. And people tend to be greedy. And they're not always doing it in the best interest of humanity. And that's the problem with all this technology. You know, we have power in the palm of an individual hand that is powerful enough to wipe out the entire planet. And it's not just in one palm of a hand. It's been democratized. So it's in all kinds of palms of hands. We're at a point in history where we have never been so capable of wiping out every drop of life on this planet with one bad mistake. I think that that is every reason to distrust, because motivations are not pure in a large majority of humans. People actually are very easily swayed by fame and fortune and, you know, this me society that we have groomed. You know, it gives them a rush to be in charge. It gives them a rush to be smarter. It gives them a rush to be the holders of all the knowledge. And then when you figure out that, oh, we have the military-industrial complex and the federal government that sprinkle funding a lot of this research, including like the Brain Initiative and these smart medicines and artificial intelligence and all this other stuff that's going on. It's that Google. We got Google, DARPA, Facebook, Microsoft. All these big boys are jumping in. The ones who are already the holders of all your online profiles and everything that you've done for all these years, they could pull any of that stuff up now. It's got to make you really worry. Because even though, like I've said many times, this is a double-edged sword, don't trust any of them. Don't trust them. Scientists, however, should be consoled by the fact that they are disdained, not for their work, but for being part of an undifferentiated mass of quote-unquote experts, whom a fair number of Americans now view as, at best, a suspect political class, and at worst, as an enemy. Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Now, when I read this, this kind of worried me. I was like, whoa, Scientific American is a pretty big publication. They are targeting this story toward the masses who now are questioning things. But also, I started to worry because, like I said the other day, I got 400 and some odd shows out on YouTube of me in particular talking about this very thing, pointing out how they've been lying to us from the scientific and technological perspective for a very long time. That would make me an enemy, wouldn't it? That would make me an insurgent, wouldn't it? Just because I'm saying to question the narrative, and oh, by the way, here's the proof as to why you should question it. It's very disturbing. In one sense, this attack on the defenders of established knowledge was inevitable. Those poor scientists, it is not only fueled by an obvious culprit, i.e. the internet. Yes, that evil internet that even caused radicalized teenagers. But also by the unintended side effect of otherwise positive social changes, universal education, and increased social mobility, among other changes, has thrown American experts and citizens into direct contact. Oh, yes, well, it brought the guys way up on the pedestal down here. After nearly two centuries in which they lived segregated lives and rarely interacted with the public. And yet the result has not been a greater respect for knowledge and science, but the growth of an irrational conviction among Americans that everyone is as smart as everyone else. What? To understand this and to think about solutions requires a deeper look at causes. Both the professional community and the public it serves bear some responsibility for our current condition. For its part, the American public is in the grip of a sullen, almost paranoid narcissism about science and its experts. And I'm going to say, actually, the scientists are the ones who are narcissists. It's all they're worrying about is getting their paycheck, their fame and fortune, not about how they're going to affect future generations of humans as they upgrade us without our knowledge to become human 2.0s. This is not a function of education. The anti-vaccine movement, for example, is actually concentrated among parents with more education. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Gee, maybe that should tell you something. Than their poorer counterparts. And indeed, ignorance has become hip, they say, with some Americans not wearing their rejection of expert advice as a badge of cultural sophistication. Instead, the public rejection of science is an extension of our politics. They're thinking that it's Trump. Come on. Why don't you read a research paper, whoever's writing this for Scientific American? Which in turn has become an expression of our constant outrage about everything that offends our deepest beliefs about ourselves. The expert community, however, should shoulder some of the blame for the collapse of the relationship between the science and the public. Experts often trespass across from empirical knowledge to normative demands. I am not without sin as an expert myself in this regard, and thus I validate the suspicions of laypeople that the real goal of expert advice is to force compliance with expert policy preferences. Ding, ding, ding. The debate over climate change is a good example of this problem. Is the Earth's climate changing? Well, of course it is. But my question is, who's changing it? And that is the big question, the elephant in the room that nobody's pointing to. Like I said, with Dubai hiring scientists to make it rain now, and they're building a whole reservoir system. Yeah, who's making the climate change? Most experts believe that it is, and they believe they know why. But whether their models, extrapolated out for decades and centuries, and wait, stop here, are accurate is a legitimate area for scientific debate. And yes, that climate model that, oh, they showed that we were going into a cooling period, and they were telling us for years we were heading into a new ice age. And then out of the blue, right before that COP21 conference in France, they came out and said, hey, guess what? You know, the hundreds of years of climate data that we told you showed that we were going into an ice age? Well, we reworked it all, and we discovered we were wrong. There were some buoys that were a little bit off, and so we retooled them all. And hey, it shows that not that we're going into an ice age. It shows right now that we're in runaway global greenhouse gas overheating to the absolute opposite extreme, and it's worse than we ever imagined. I mean, come on. I want to see those numbers. You know, if they didn't want any debate about that, then we should have been able to compare two different charts and look at exactly where all this recalculation came from. You know, this is this hide the pickle or the little shot glass ball game on the table. What do they call that? Shells. That's the game that they're playing. And I cannot stand liars or flim-flammers that are always trying to pull something over you, because all it takes is once. And once I found that what you're telling me is absolute utter bullshit, well, hey, I hate to tell you, I'm not going to believe you again. And when you try to tell me something, I'm going to question you to the point where you're going to want your eyes to start bleeding. You're going to cry, Johnny, please, please, Jewel, leave me alone. You're making my head hurt. Oh. Because you brought it on yourself. You shouldn't have lied to me, Johnny. That's one of my superpowers. Anyway, so they're trying to blame all this questioning. You know, we tend to be the more educated, and we tend to be incorrect because we're questioning the machine. And we're not just believing what they're trying to force down our throats, God forbid. It's creating problems because this whole transition isn't happening as fast as they had hoped. People are starting to push back on some of the stuff that they thought was already going to be chug, chug, chugging along here by the time we're in the 2020s. Well, don't worry about it because IEEE Spectrum. The tiny robots will see you now. Step right up. Over the past week, and this was from 5 days ago, we've highlighted a lot of big, impressive robots. And yeah, we looked at that handle robot from Boston Dynamics. Pretty damn scary. Well, now it is time to pay homage to their teeny tiny counterparts. We talked about Smart Dust for a good part of the week last week. And being able they have all these tiny little sensors everywhere, like a nervous system of Earth. And eventually inside of us, well, don't forget we also got the nanobots coming. It is science fiction turned reality. Researchers are developing micro and nanoscale robots that move freely in the body, communicate with each other, perform jobs, and then degrade when their mission is complete. These tiny robots will someday have a major impact on disease diagnosis, treatment, and prevention, according to a new review in the Science Robotics from a top nanoengineering team at the University of California, San Diego. Remember, men at Napolitano's home, all the U of C colleges. The review highlights four areas of medicine where tiny robots have been successful and used in proof of concept studies, and that would be targeted delivery of drugs, and that's in cancer treatments, precision surgeries. That would be the little nanorobot doctors going in and zip, zip, zip. sensing of biological targets, and that would be our biosensors, as well as detoxification. And of those, active drug delivery is primarily the most promising commercial application of medical micro-robots. In December, for example, researchers at ETH Zurich in Switzerland showed that a wire-shaped nanobot could be wirelessly steered toward a location inside the body and then triggered by a magnetic field to release drugs to kill cancer cells. To get to know these little machines better, before we meet them at the doctor's office, here are five things you need to know about micro and nanorobots. They are hard to move and even harder to power, but we read last week about the smart dust that they were using ultrasound and a little piezoelectric crystal inside of them to be able to remotely power them from outside of your body. These little nanorobots can also perform surgery. Number three, they will cooperate via swarm intelligence. And we have talked about that. There's a story I've referenced a bunch of times titled Legions of Nanobots Inside of You to Cure Cancer. Look out. Swarm technology has been a big study at the Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering, MIT, and all those other mad science-y places. Number four, these little nanobots are designed to destroy themselves after completing a mission. And yeah, biodegradable nanobots seems to be a cool thing. Number five, being used in wild animals right now.